Good morning, ladies. Just want to thank you all for coming out today. We're really excited. This morning, I'm introducing Mitzi. I was praying and thinking what I would say about her, and I kept hearing God tell me Proverbs 31. You know, over this last year, I've gotten to know Mitzi better, and if you guys don't know her, she's an awesome person to get to know. And then I read this, I'm like, this surely does describe her. Proverbs 31:24. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. I introduce to you Mitzi.
I was like, I'm going to cry. And with that introduction, like, who's not going to cry? Thank you, Anma, for your kind words. Totally don't deserve them. But God's grace is with us. And so I'm so grateful for this opportunity. As I reflected when they told me, I want you to share a word, I thought about when I was 16. And at the age of 16, I remember going to a youth retreat. And I remember being excited about this retreat. And when I attended the retreat, I mean, there was a ton of youth. But that was the day that God truly spoke to my heart in a way that I would never forget. And he declared his promises over me, and he said, you will evangelize, and you will talk. You will share my word with others. And for a long time, I thought that that was, you know, asleep within me. And for a long time, I went about my own things, like we all do, right, in life. And I didn't put the effort that I needed to fulfill that word. And many experiences and many difficult times that I myself put myself into. And as the time has gone by and I've been able to get closer to the Lord and really meditate on his word and the promises that he's spoken over my life, I sometimes just saw that so far away and thought, you know, I'll never be able to talk, or I'll never be able to preach, or I won't ever be able to feel this because I'm fearful or because I'm shameful of so many things in my life. And when I was approached by the ladies and they said, oh, you're going to bring the word, I thought to myself, wow, I was 16. And there in a split second, I remember, you know, God's word is never spoken in vain. And he will keep our promises. And they shall come to pass in spite of the difficulties, in spite of the seasons of our lives, in spite that we may not deserve it, because we don't all deserve it, right? None of us do. But his grace is sufficient for us. And so as I prepared for this message, I was expressing to Carol that I prayed and I said, I thought I had a topic. I did my PowerPoint and it was on the Holy Spirit, right? And which we all need. And I think if it wasn't for that Holy Spirit, I would have not been obedient to listen. It's time to change that topic, right? Because I have something for my ladies that they're in need of. And so I did this whole PowerPoint and all the study on the Holy Spirit. And I said, wow, you know, even though I've been in church for so many years, right? I think we go through the motions and we forget that within us is the power of God. It's his Spirit. And sometimes we don't allow that spirit to be activated, or because of how busy we are or so many things that we have going on, so much noise in our mind, we don't listen. We're not able to listen and be guided by the Holy Spirit. So I was so glad that the Lord took me in that path, because I needed that word. I needed to be reminded that I'm not alone. I don't have to make decisions on my own. Why do I add all this extra pressure of wanting to do X, Y, and Z when I have the Holy Spirit that's here to guide my decisions, that's here to comfort me, that's here to reveal the truth of the Word? And so as I thought of the Holy Spirit, and then I remember just praying and listening to this song that you're all going to listen to now, And it was in that quiet prayer time that I said, you know what, God, I'm coming before you. I'm not going to say anything. Can I just rest in your presence? You know, I've been having like a lot of work and just a lot of other things. And I just said, you know what? I have you to rest. That's what your word says. You know what? I'm going to take you on your word. And I'm just going to rest in your presence. And I had my phone going on in praise and worship. And then this song came on. And it just spoke to my spirit. So today our topic is gracefully broken. And I think each of and every one of us have been broken in our lives. Right? A certain season. We're probably going through that season right now. And so I wanted this morning to just lay it before God and say, Lord, we're all broken, right? But God's grace is so awesome that even in our brokenness, he handles us with that grace.
Amen.
And so I'm going to play, oh, Sarah, play the song. But I want us to know before we hear the song is that God has to break you as the PowerPoint. Did you switch? God has to break you in order to build you.
Amen.
And I think so many times in this process, we feel like God is going to break us because he wants to hurt us or going to destroy us. That's never the intention of God breaking us.
Amen.
God wants to build you. God wants to take you to that next level, to that promotion. But sometimes he has to like chip away some of these things that are are hindering our growth in him. So today we're going to talk about God breaking us, but to build us. All right, so can we just, Sarah, the song? I want you to just close your eyes and really just allow this song to minister to your heart.
All I have in these hands and multiply, God. All that I am and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire, set me on fire. Come on, say, take all I have in these hands and multiply, God. All that I am and find my heart on. Altar again, set me on fire.
Ask him, sir.
Set me on fire. Here I am, God, arms wide open,
hey.
Pouring out my life, gracefully broken. Your name, your mighty love stands strong to the end. You will fulfill your purpose in me. You won't forsake. You will be with me.
You will be with me.
Here I am, God, say, arms wide. I'm holding nothing back. God, arms wide open. I'm right here, pouring out my life, gracefully walking.
Thank you, Jesus. Isn't that awesome? That even in our weakness, even in our tough moments, we don't have to be strong. Because if we have God in our lives, He's going to give us that strength. So gracefully broken. When I thought of that, I thought of purpose, strength, and promotion. I know broken is a difficult word, right? Because broken is to be torn apart, crushed, fragmented. Some of us may feel rejected, may feel anxiety, may feel abandoned, alone, hurt. We may go through a lot of pain. We may feel stressed, and a lot of us may not feel loved, right? And that might be that we may not love ourselves, right? Or others, right? But then I couldn't just, you know, brokenness is all of that, but grace. Grace just takes it to another level, right? And grace is... means to get something that we don't deserve. Amen. And you know, God has demonstrated this over and over in our lives, but I think the greatest gift of His grace is our salvation. Amen. Right? That He gave to all of us so that we can have life. And we could read that in Ephesians 2:8. And when I was thinking of brokenness, I thought of many seasons in my life. But no matter what season in your life you may be, God has promised that He will never, never abandon us. And I think we're so quick to forget that because of what we're feeling and what we're going through and what we're processing, right? And sometimes we need to not go by our emotions, but really stick to what God has promised over our lives. And when God breaks us, so I think that a lot of times we think, that brokenness is, you know, just out of sin, right? I mean, sometimes we have to be broken because we're in sinful behaviors that God needs to, but I feel like sometimes we think that, and in broken situations, that He cannot use that to glorify Himself. I mean, I'm a perfect example of when I came here 10 years ago or 11 years to this church, I was broken, big time. And it was my choices and my behaviors that got me to that point. But in that moment where I felt that I had nothing, that I just was down completely, I think He had to strip me from so many things in my life that were wrong and that I had caused. I remember being in my room and sitting on the floor of my bedroom just crying and feel like I didn't want to live. And it was in that moment that He met me. And He said, I'm going to turn this around. And I didn't have hope. And I remember coming to Carol and just, you know, and Pastor Carmen and so many other people showing me God's grace through their unconditional love, which I felt I didn't deserve. But He worked it out. He really worked it out. He turned it around. I mean, He gave me all things new where I thought that I wasn't going to get any of that, that I was just deserted, alone. He had to take some people out of my life and He had to take some things out of my life. And He had to transition me in order for me to be where I'm at now. Mm-hmm. I didn't see that. But it took trusting and believing and being intentional about seeing His love and those small miracles that He does every single day in our lives. Not that I deserved it, but I feel like when I was preparing for this, I kept thinking how many of us feel that our purpose in God is it's just not... It's not, you know, we're not thriving in that purpose. And what is holding, what is hindering us from thriving in God's purpose and knowing that you were created for a greater purpose and knowing that your current situation is not going to dictate what God has for you. And so as I thought of all this, I thought, you know, what are some of those things? Is it our past? Is it sin, right? Because we all fall short. I mean, we're not perfect, right? We're striving for that, but we're not. Is it the hurts and then the unforgiveness? Because we don't want to forgive? Because we don't want to surrender that to God? And I found that a lot of times in my life, it was shame. I was just like, oh, I did it again, Lord. I allow that thought to enter my mind. Therefore, I'm just going to hide like this, and you're not going to see me. But hello, I mean, he's there. He's going to see us. And so instead of running to another direction or hiding out in that shame and hiding out in those emotions and feelings, that's where the enemy wants to take us to. But God is saying, yes, you're broken, but you just run to me. And I will turn that around. And so I feel like there is power in being broken. And I know that's difficult to see or think or feel, because you might be saying, well, you don't know what I'm going through, or you don't know the pain that I'm in. But I've been in pain, and I've witnessed that there is power. And I remember having a dream, and this was long time, many, many moons ago. And I think I remember telling Pastor Carmen and Luce about it. But in the dream, it was Luis Martinez and Carmen Martinez Church, and we're all there, and we were going to cross this huge ocean. And I could see all the members of the church, and they were all ready and excited. And I just looked, and I said, I can't go through that water. And they were just like diving in, and they were talking about the promises. And beyond this, we have to go through this, but God has a greater promise. And Mitzi is going to be beautiful. Some of the members have already gone that way. And I'm just like, I can't get in the water. I don't know how to swim. And all this fear and this anxiety I remember having in the dream. And I remember Raquel, Pastor Carmen's daughter, said, Mitzi, let's do something. I know you don't know how to swim, but I don't want you to stay behind. I'll put you on my back. And then I'll carry you, and we'll take you to the other side. And I remembered, okay, Raquel. And I remember shaking, and I remember, Lord, I don't want to remember this. I don't want to remember this, because I felt like I was drowning. And I got to the other side, and everyone was excited, and everyone was talking about their process. But then I was like, I don't remember. I don't remember the process. I prayed so much, and I didn't want to feel the pain. I didn't want to remember that pain. And I remember being excited because I saw the growth in people. And I saw that they were sharing that. Like, I made it. And I didn't have anything to share. And I think sometimes God takes us through these painful times in our lives, but it's for a greater good, not only for ourselves, but for others to be edified, and for us to encourage other people in the walk. So there is power to brokenness, but I feel that in order for there to be power, you have to surrender. You have to surrender it all. You need to be in a place where you could hear his voice. And in that place, he's going to heal you, and he's going to make you whole. So there's freedom in surrendering. There's freedom that we're not doing this alone, and there's that burden that's lifted off of our shoulders, because we're going to him and we're laying it down. And he strengthens us through that process. And I think it's in that strength, in that process, where then we are promoted, where he equips us. Amen. There's that reason for that process. He's going to build you, and you're going to come out a different person, because there is a greater purpose for your life. Amen. Even though we don't see it, even though we're having a hard time hearing it or feeling it, there is a greater purpose. He wants you to grow in him, and he wants to just make you shine, right? Where others could just see his love through you. Because remember, we're here, but we're here to work in God's kingdom. And the enemy is going to do everything he can to paralyze you. So in the process of being broken, it's not for you to be paralyzed. It's not for you to feel stagnant or stuck. That's why he is our source. I say those things because that's how I feel. Many times, I still struggle with that. And God today wanted specifically to ignite something in your spirit so that you're not stuck. I remember Laura one time prayed for me, and that's how I was feeling, stagnant, stuck. No one knew that. That's just me going through my motions, right? And when I went up for prayer, Laura said, I know this sounds strange, but God is telling me to pray for a spiritual dreno. See, God knows what we go through. You think he ain't listening? You think he's not watching our situations? And when she said that, that ignited something in me. And she probably thought that was silly. Dreno, Lord? Do I really have to say that? But that unclogs. And that day, that unclogged me. Amen. That's what I needed. So I want you to know that in your process, God is listening. God is attentive. And he knows our heart's desire. And he's not going to abandon it. He's not going to forsake that. And he's going to remind you. But you have to be in a place where you're willing to listen and surrender. Amen. To receive that. All right, next slide. Oh, and there's a Bible verse, Psalm 51:17. And I think that I love this verse because it just reminds me that I just have to humble myself. And that if I give him my heart, no matter how messed up it is, he's going to listen to me. He's going to receive it. And so I wanted you guys to see that. Today, when I was going through the study, I thought of there's so many women in the Word, right, that have been broken. There's a lot of men. I actually thought of David immediately. But I was like, no, I don't want to talk about men. I mean, there's many great examples of women in the Bible that have been broken and have been used for a greater purpose. And I was praying, and all of a sudden, it came to me where I remember the Shunammite woman. And today we're gonna talk about her for a little bit, but I wanted to do an activity. So I'm gonna introduce the Shunammite woman. After I introduce that woman, I'm gonna call randomly, like five or six women, and I'm gonna show you an example. Right after I introduce the Shunammite woman, I'll tell you what you what we'll do. So the scripture is in 2 Kings. It's a long scripture, but I listen to it over and over. There's a lot of verses, but it, you know, when something is written in the Word, it's for a reason and a purpose. So like I could dive into every verse and come up with something, but I'm not going to read all of it. I'm going to paraphrase some of it, and then there's some areas that I have to read. But the Shunammite woman is introduced to us in this verse. It's not introduced with a name. So we don't call her by her name. It's just referenced as the Shunammite woman. And the Bible doesn't mention her name, but it gives an awesome description of her, right? And this woman was described as a great woman. And that's how the Bible verse starts. In those times, it meant that she was wealthy and an influencer. So even though it didn't say Carol, how it starts is describing her character and who she is as a woman and what she's able to, what we're able to portray from her characteristics. So the Shunammite woman was rewarded for her godly character, and we'll read about that. She was given her heart's desire, even though she didn't say what her heart's desire was. God always knows our heart's desire. Amen. And he'll speak life into them if they're according to his perfect will. And in her brokenness, her faith and acknowledgement of God's power produced a greater outcome, a greater reward. And so today we'll talk about those characteristics. But so I'm going to start. When I was thinking about how to do this, because I wanted something like an interactive activity, I was praying about it, and I was like, I'm going to put Bible verses in the tables. And here Sandra and I were connected because she did it. I didn't even talk to her, but there's Bible verses and those little hearts for you ladies. I thought about this activity. So you're going to choose, I'm going to choose six women, and I'm going to show you an example of what I'm going to do. I'm not going to call them by their name, but I'm going to call them by their characteristics. I wanted this to be as an encouragement that each and every one of us has a gift. We're all godly women that were chosen for a purpose. So we always tend to focus on the ugliness and the things that don't make us great, but God wants you to know this morning that you are great and that you're his daughter and that he has poured into you amazing gifts, and that other people know them and see them, but sometimes we don't see them, right? So God wants to remind us that we are to call out on those gifts, encourage each other, and stir each other up as sisters, right? So I was thinking, like, how am I going to start? I'm going to start with Luce. And then you open in prayer. So I was like, yep, that's who I was supposed to start. So I'm going to choose Luce, but today she's not Luce. Just like the Shunammite woman was nameless. Today she's strong, courageous, When I think of Luz, I think of resilience. Like, she's a warrior. That's what I thought. Like, there is nothing that could ever come against her that she will not prosper and overcome. So she's just strong. So I want you guys to, that's how we're going to do it. I'm going to call up randomly. I don't know who I'm going to call, but I'll call some of you. Six of you will stand up. We'll go to the woman that God puts in your heart or that you want, even if you know her or you don't know her, but that you want to remind her of what she means Amen. To you and what she means to this body of women.
Amen.
All right, Luz, since I did it, you can. Luz will be one of the women that would have to tell somebody else something. I'm going to put Donna Cook. Luz, Donna, stand up. I'll pick Jackie and Taylor. How many of that? I'll pick Jenny and Ashley. Is that six? One, two. All right. I want everyone to hear this. So I'll tell you your order, and you'll go to the woman that you want to share something with. All right, Luz, why don't you kick it off? Anyone you want. Now that was awesome. I already had to hold my tears together for that. But I did that exercise because I want to encourage you to do this often. Not just this one time. I could have gone on and on about so many other women, but I feel that God spoke to the ones that needed it and that encourage us to speak to each other this way. You know, see each other as through God's eyes. Encourage each other, motivate each other. And I think, Jackie, you said it so well when you talked about hospitality. The Shunammite woman had a heart to serve. And she served Elijah, the prophet of God, and she recognized the Spirit of God in him. She knew that he was a godly man. And she said, "You're gonna when you come to this town, you're going to come eat in my house." And she went out of her way, and she asked her husband, she said, you know, we need to create a room. And the scripture's so specific about this, where he said, we're going to get a bed, we're going to get a table, we're going to get a lamp, we're going to get a chair, because she wanted to meet his needs. She wanted him to be comfortable because he was doing God's work. And Elijah saw this and said, wow, this woman has just gone above and beyond for me. What could I do for her? Like, how could I bless her? So he asked his servant and says, what could we do for her? And so call her up. Bring her up to the room. She comes up to the room, and I'm paraphrasing because this is a long scripture, so I don't want to read all of the scripture, but we'll get to some of the scripture. And he says to the, call her, and she stood before him, and He said to the servant, like, what could we give her? And he said, I know. So he says, you know what? Shunammite woman, because they don't reference her name. I can write a letter to the king for you. So he wanted to do something for her, like to give you favor. And she said, I'm good. She had influence. She was among her people. She had wealth. She didn't feel like she needed everything. She had God, and she had what she needed. So then he tells the servant, like, what could we do for her? And the servant said, well, you know, her husband is old, and she doesn't have a son. I mean, you don't think God was setting her up? She's like, I don't need anything. But she knew what her heart wanted. He knew what her heart wanted. She didn't have a son. And that's what God spoke to, directly to what he had placed in her heart, to her heart's desire. And he told the woman, next year, you will be holding your son in your hands. And I find this amazing. And she said, no, my Lord. She objected. Please, man of God, don't mislead your servant. Why? Because that's what she really wanted. And that fear, all of a sudden, you're going to tell me that you're going to give me something that I've always wanted? I don't have that. Please don't do this to me. But God wanted to reveal to her, I'm in control. I know what you want, and I'm going to give you what you want. And so she had the son. The child grew up. You know, he was a little older. And one day he goes out into the field with her husband, and he had a really bad headache. And the father of the son was like, well, he has a headache. Oh, tell the servant, just go take him to lay down. And they take him to the woman, and as the woman is holding the child in her hands, he dies. Now, that was, like, tragic, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I was reading this. I was like, I will go crazy. I'll die. I don't know what would happen to me, right? And it made me think of what God has placed in our hearts, in our laps, in our hands of doing. And when circumstances come into our life and we think that everything is over and that that's dead, God has something else planned for us. And I think this is why I love this story, because even though he did it physically, he showed us a physical analogy of this, I took it as to what gift, what purpose he has placed in my life. And I love her character and how her faith was beyond what I could probably ever have. And she didn't go crazy at that moment. I would have gone crazy. I mean, we're emotional people. Women are emotional. And I thought how she just held her composure. And it took me back to what she said to the Lord, don't mislead me. And he gave her that gift. So you think he gave her the gift, he was going to take it away from her? You think he was just going to be at just that? He wanted to glorify himself. And he wanted to do a greater thing in her. And so she packed up her stuff. She said to her husband, get me the servant. I'm going to go see the man of God. And he said, what? It's not a Sabbath day. It's not a festival going on. And she said, all is well. I just need to see him. And so she charges up, going straight to the man of God that gave her that promise. And I think that the more I reflect upon it, she saw the man of God, but she saw the Spirit of God in him. So she was going to the source of what had given her promise, which was God. But I think visually we had to see that he represented Elijah. So she gets to the location, and his servant greets her. And Elijah said, what is she doing here? Is everything okay with her husband? Is everything okay with her son? Go and greet her. And when she saw the servant, she said, all is well. I just want to go to Elijah, you know, to see the servant. And when she went, she threw herself at his feet. And I felt like that's what God was telling me. Mitzi, you got to lay it at my feet. And she got anguished. You know, she was on his feet, and the servant was, like, trying to push her away. And Elijah said, don't push her away. Don't you see she's anguished? And he asked what was wrong with her. That is our Father. But I think that a lot of times we allow our circumstances or others or whether it's our shame not to dare to go and lay it at his feet. She lays it at his feet, and he asks, what's wrong? And she begins to tell him. Now, he says to his servant, I want you to grab my staff, and I want you to go to his son, and I want you to put it over him. Now, I love how he says, I'm going to look it up real quick. I want to make sure that I read it correctly, because this really impressed me. He says, look, there's the Shunammite. Run to meet her and ask her, are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right? And she says, everything is all right, she said. When she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. Gehazi, is that how you say it? I hope it's how you say it. Gehazi came over to push her away. But the man of God said, leave her alone. She is in bitter distress. But the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why. And the Shunammite says, did I ask you for a son, my lord? She said, didn't I tell you not to raise my hopes? Elijah said to Gehazi, tuck your cloak into your belt, take my staff in your hand, and run. Don't greet anyone you meet. And if anyone greets you, do not answer. Lay my staff on the boy's face. But the child's mother said, as surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you. So he got up and followed her. Gehazi went into ahead and laid the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. So Gehazi went back to meet Elijah and told him, the boy has not awakened. When Elijah reached the house, there was a boy laying dead on his couch. He went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Then he got on the bed and laid on the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands, and he stretched himself out on him. The boy grew warm. Elijah turned away and walked back and forth in the room, and then got on the bed and stretched out over him once more. The boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Elijah summoned Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite." And he did. When she came in, "Take your son." She came in, fell at his feet, and bowed on the ground. Then she took her son and went. So as I read that, I was like, "Lord, she wasn't going to give up." She's like, "No, Lord, I'm holding on to you." And I found it interesting how he gave his servant, "You're not to greet anyone," because there was a purpose that needed to be fulfilled, and it was urgent. And I feel like God is telling each and every one of us, it's urgent. The call that I have upon your life, what I have deposited in your hands, it's urgent. And it might be asleep now, because that's what I took. I didn't take that he was dead. I took that as he was asleep. And God wants to ignite in each and every one of your hearts that passion and that desire to fulfill the purpose that God has called you. So no past, no circumstance, nothing will hold you back from reaching and fulfilling the purpose that God has upon your life. I just thought it was amazing how she knew where her promise came from. She acknowledged it. She recognized it. She didn't go all crazy and chaotic. She held on to that promise, and she said, "Nope. I told you not to do this, but you did it. So therefore, you will bring life into my boy." And so I challenge each and every one of you today to know that you are woman of purpose. And that just as the Shunammite was given a promise, right? And I want you to begin to see yourselves as daughters of the Most High God. I mean, how amazing is that, right? That nothing can push us away from the love of God. That he will knock down every wall. That he will bring down the shame. That he will remove the fear. He just wants to embrace you in his arms and let you know that I have called you and that you do have a purpose. Some people might have spoken deaf over your life, and circumstances might have made you feel that you're not going to fulfill, but God is here to remind you that you are a woman of God with a purpose. And beyond you is to reach others in his kingdom. And so I'm going to challenge you to be like the Shunammite and have faith and always run to your source. We're going to be broken. We're going to have hurts. We're going to feel pain. But we got to remember that we have a comforter. We have a counselor. We have a healer. We have a God that when we throw ourselves on his feet and lay it down, he will strengthen us. We don't have to be strong. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to have it all together, because he wants to be in our lives. He wants to be in our mix. He wants to strengthen you, and he wants you to rise up. And I love this Bible verse. This is like my favorite, and I have to like say it to myself many times, because many times I don't feel this, but I'm so glad we have the Word of God that just, you know, bubbles and ignites in our spirit and reminds us that the Lord says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." We have a future in our mighty God. And there is nothing and no one that will prohibit that from coming to pass. So I want to encourage you this morning, and I want you to take the time to encourage another woman and those around you, and speak life to those gifts that God has deposited in each and every one of us. When you ladies went around and you talked about, I could totally see that in each woman, but sometimes we don't see that in ourselves. And so that just brings hope. It brings comfort. And when we see, Carmen, and probably Carmen didn't feel that way. Carmen fights with herself all the time, like, I don't think I'm a good mug. But God wanted to remind you, yes, you are. Mm-hmm. And you will be, because my spirit is within you. And so we don't have to rely on our own strength, we just have to rely on his strength. So I just want to thank you ladies for this opportunity. I hope that it's been of encouragement to you all, to know that God handles us with grace and with love. God bless you all.
You did a beautiful. There's so much beauty in this room. It's like a treasure vault. When I was sitting over in that chair thinking, you know, like, yeah, just a treasure within each and every one of you. I'm so blessed. I always felt that I was so grateful. I always had a ever lived. I had a bit of a drive to this church, and I always knew the Lord could have sent me anywhere, but he actually let me come here to Downriver. He had favor upon me and my family to allow me to be in this body, and I'm so grateful for each and every one of you. So I'm going to close in prayer, but just one word that has come to me last week when we spoke and then again today is that, you know, in a book they always have an epilogue oftentimes at the end, and that would be the conclusion. And it came to me a couple times when you were talking about getting to the other side of the river or the water, or in a year you'll have a baby. You know, we all have an epilogue to the situation that we're facing right now. And the beauty, there's so much beauty that's in the journey, you know. So watch for the beauty, you know, submit to the process. I mean, it's tough, like you said, but there's so much beauty in it, and you do have an epilogue to what you're going through right now. So let's close in prayer. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this word, Lord God. And I ask, God, that you allow it to just be a seed within our hearts, that you would sprinkle it with your Holy Spirit and cause it to grow within us, Lord God, that we may truly be a light into this dark world, Lord God. I thank you for all that you've done and all that you're doing. Bless each and every woman here, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.